Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back. The Atlanta Sports Guys. We're back on a Friday afternoon, as we are every single Friday. I am joined, as I am every Friday, by Garrett Chapman down there in Atlanta. Garrett, good afternoon. How are you?
What up, Chase?
What is going on, man? You know, just a normal week of sports. Tennessee's doing all kinds of stuff. So I had David Cheely on, so he does Volcanic Takes with Ryan Shepherd and I, also on Fridays. And he unloaded this, like, three-minute explanation as to why Georgia Southern, Georgia State is just as big of a rivalry as New Orleans and the Atlanta Falcons. And I almost fell out of my chair. He's very passionate about it. Like, he went to State. Really, really hates Georgia Southern. I've never heard anything like this in my life. I knew the Southern, not State stuff was a thing back when I was an undergrad because I had a lot of friends who went to Southern, and I would go down to Statesboro, and I know that's where you went. That I saw that a lot, but I didn't think it was a real rivalry. Garrett, clear this up. Is this actually like a really heated, crazy rivalry now?
Oh, yeah, it has actually become like quite the rivalry because Georgia Southern's football program suffered a little bit like when I was there. But at least the second 2 years. And that's when Georgia State was really starting to establish themselves as a football program. And it was just sort of, they kind of picked up a little steam, and but they still haven't really caught us. But then basketball, they have a great program in basketball too. But really, I think it's a generational thing because people older than me all hate App State more than anything. Going back to the SoCon days. And then everyone my age, everyone just hates Georgia State because it's just the regional rivalry. It's like Georgia Tech.
Interesting. Also with us, Max Markovich. Max, who do you hate more, Michigan State or Ohio State? Is it even a question?
It's so funny you ask this because everyone in Michigan wants to hate Ohio State more, but actually hates Michigan State more, and it's like not even close.
Really?
And that's something that everyone in the national media does not understand that, but it's absolutely 100% the case that I would say 90 to 95% of people hate Michigan State more.
Interesting. See, we're explaining all of these. National media, take notice. We're learning all about the actual rivalries in college football.
It might have something to do with the fact that Michigan hasn't beaten Ohio State maybe one time in the last like 20 years or whatever. But
Yeah, it's kind of like the same with Tennessee and Bama, where I'm just like, no, Bama's not really a rival. Like, I don't really go into it. I know what I'm expecting. Like, it's not a rivalry. They're going to steamroll, and that's just the way it is. The Georgia stuff is by far more intense for me. My University of Georgia hate is strong. The Falcons, they had some releases this week. Ricardo Allen, who worked his way up to a really solid safety for the Atlanta Falcons over the last couple of years, came back from some bad injuries, fought through it, good player, but the Falcons are up against it with Terry Fontenot and Kyle Smith and this new front office. They're going to have to make some tough decisions, and you're not going to be able to pay everybody, and they're going to have to restructure a lot of cap stuff. Him and Alan Bailey both got released. I suspect other free agents, impending free agents from the Falcons 2020 roster will not be back as well. I think we're going to see a lot of change in the defensive front, especially. Max, what do you make of those two releases?
Yeah, I think it was sort of a matter of time with those two guys and with others. I mean, they're up against the cap, and there's no really two ways around that. And with the new staff in place, you know, I think that it's interesting sort of the sequencing that this all happens to me. I mean, Terry Fontenot and his staff are coming in and sort of just assessing the entire roster from the bottom up, right? And so it's interesting to see, okay, those were the first two guys to go, but they certainly won't be the last. And sort of trying to follow the trends of who they value, who stays, who goes, will be interesting to follow. I mean, they're going to have to make some really tough decisions because, you know, I see the Falcons as sort of being on these two parallel tracks of sort of trying to piece it together to compete now while also rebuilding and sustainably rebuilding. And those are somewhat contradictory paths. So we'll see sort of how that goes.
Garrett, what do you think?
Well, I think Max actually just brought up a really interesting thing because the Atlanta Falcons are at an organizational crossroads. I mean, this team theoretically could compete next year, but we're in such a bad cap situation. And honestly, we just came off four wins. It's hard to believe that this team's going to win to go worst to first. But at the same time, you have a lot of these players already in place. It makes you think that you could theoretically go and compete next year. But, I mean, but speaking of the two cuts, two roster moves, I mean, I expect more moves to be coming. I could see Carpenter getting cut, maybe Davison. Fowler, I've heard, is a potential, like, post-June 1st cut.
Oh, yikes.
That could be a potential, but that would be a lot of dead money.
Yeah.
But really the biggest thing is these guys just need to come out and restructure some deals. And that's really where he's going to have to work some magic. I mean, that's one thing that Thomas Dimitroff did a little bit of, especially in the past couple of years, but he was just kind of kicking the can down the road with some of them. And I mean, Matt Ryan's got this big old payday one of these days. I think it's coming up in like a year or two, but I mean, it's going to take some genius from Terry Fontenot. And I mean, this is his time to shine. I mean, he's got his work cut out for him.
He does. And I think, look, I'm not really tied emotionally to anyone on this defense outside of Foye Olukan. Like, that is my dude, and him just being awesome and becoming like a stud is great. And also, we have a lot of question marks with their young guys. Like, the last draft, they spent a lot of capital on the defense. Like, we know what they did with Dante Fowler in free agency, but like, also they were looking at Mikael Walker and guys like that, where you're like, we still have some young guys we need to see. We need to see what Isaiah Oliver still looks like. We need to see what AJ Terrell looks like in year two. They have a lot of young guys. I mean, Devontae Kazee coming back from a torn Achilles. We'll see what happens there. Because I was texting you about this because thefalcoholic.com had a really good thing about, like, if you can only keep two, who would they be? And for me, it's Ku is priority one. Like, that's the one. You just make it work. It's easy to bring him back. And he seems like the guy for the long term. He's hopefully our next Matt Bryan in the long line of Falcons kickers who just stay around forever. I'm hoping that's the case. So I bring him back. And the other one is just like, it's someone in the secondary. And I go back and forth on Denard, who I thought was really good when he played. And he had some injury issues this year. But Darcos Denard was a really good pickup by Dimitroff. And then Kazee, when he is healthy, he's good. And he can play. He's versatile. And that's the biggest thing with Kazee for me, is that he can play safety. He can play corner. He can move around. And DMP is, like Garrett talked about in our text thread, is just like, he is versatile as a defensive play caller, and he's worked in so many different schemes that I think he's going to value the Deion Joneses, the Foye Olukans, the Grady Jarretts, more than anything else, because I think the modern football game is you have to be able to play multiple positions, and you can't just be, I'm this. And that's kind of what Ricardo Allen and Keanu Neal really were, and that's why I just don't think either will be back. We know Allen won't be back. I don't think Keanu Neal will be back. Garrett, what do you make of all of that?
I mean, speaking of, going back to one of your original points in there, the draft from last year was a high investment in the defense.
Yep.
And honestly, I could see a lot of these players still panning out pretty well. I mean, Jalen Hawkins was a solid player. Mekel Walker was very good.
Yep.
Like A.J. Terrell, great player. And he's only going to get better, in my opinion. I mean, Marlon Davidson, he was injured most of the season. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's like the term in basketball, though. It's positionless basketball. I mean, the modern era players have to be flexible. They have to be able to do everything on the field and as much as possible, because that's what you want out of your players. You want them to be dynamic. And that's actually one thing that brings up a potential draft prospect for me is Michael Parsons out of Penn State. I mean, they could potentially do something with him.
You're
going to
be so angry if they take a quarterback, Garrett. You're going to be so angry.
I'm
going
to be very upset. I'm going to be
that is what I've learned in the last month from you, is you're just going to be out. You're going to be apoplectic if they take a quarterback in the number four pick. Like, you're really going to lose
because I'm just not sold on any of these guys not named Trevor Lawrence. I just really am not. And I think that the Atlanta Falcons are a lot closer to competing in 2021 than a lot of people give them credit for. And I think that, I mean, if you look at the Green Bay Packers, if they don't take Jordan Love at the first pick, of last year's draft, and instead invest in, I don't know, another wide receiver or something.
Yeah.
That extra player could have taken them to the next level, and they could have potentially played in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Atlanta Falcons are going to be the Green Bay Packers of this year.
I think that it's fair to say that they could have easily been a 10-6, 11-5 team if a lot of those crazy losses don't go the way they did.
Dude, I'm just looking back on it, just makes me bang my head against a wall because
I collapsed at a bar in North Carolina at the Cowboys Falcons game. Like, I just collapsed. What is happening in my life? Why am I doing this to myself?
Well, if you think about it too, it's like you have the Kansas City Chiefs. They were in that game up until the very end. Both games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have the first game against the Saints. You have the game against the Bears. The game against you have the Cowboys too. I mean, that's already six games. You had, I don't know, four or five of them. Four of them you should have won. If you win four of those, then all of a sudden you're in the playoffs. But, I mean, come on. It's so frustrating. And so people think the Atlanta Falcons are far, far away from where they need to be and that they just hit the reset button. I disagree. They just needed to change the culture. I think the talent's there. Invest in this team. And if they can make things work on the cap end, then I think this team could compete for a playoff spot in 2021.
Max, what do you think?
I'm going to slow the roll there in a number of ways. First of all, I can't wait till we record an episode after the draft when the Falcons trade up to 2 and take Zach Wilson, and just to see Garrett's head.
Garrett will, I think, quit the podcast.
I'll implode. I will implode.
I was reading a thread on Twitter about making the case for why the Falcons should actually trade up, and I was, you know, interested, not swayed. Anyway, I think we're how many times over the last 5 years have we, 4 years really, have we said, oh, man, you know, if only this had broken a certain way, or if that had gone a certain way, man, the Falcons really could have been, you know, 11-5 or 12-4, or won the division, or gone to the NFC title game, or won the Super Bowl, whatever, you know, all these things. You don't go 4-12 on accident. They went 4-12. They didn't go 8-8. They didn't go 6-10. They went 4-12. And I do think a lot of that has to do with our perception of it. Has to do a lot with, like, the perception of the top-end talent on the roster. And the top-end talent on the roster has been and still is pretty good, in my estimation. I mean, I think Grady Jarrett is one of the best defensive linemen in the league, period. Julio Jones is still Julio Jones despite injury. Calvin Ridley's emerged into a legit number one receiver, you know, all the first rounders on offense, yada, yada, yada. Matt Ryan's still at elite level. But that sort of belies the point of, like, the roster has been hollowed out because of that. All those guys have been paid with the exception of Calvin Ridley. And so what that does is, it, if you don't draft really, really, really well, The depth is just completely hollowed out. And when you lose guys to injuries, as you know, the Falcons have, that gets exposed. And you always lose guys to injuries. This is the NFL. And so I don't think the – I mean, you know, sure, could they go 8-8 next year? Could they go 9-7? Could they even maybe squeak out 10-6? Sure. But what is that really getting you in Matt Ryan's age 36, 37? Like, they're not winning the Super Bowl next year. And I don't think the Falcons are really as close as maybe this conversation.
Gary, are you still with us?
Leading in. No, I'm right here.
I just want to make sure that you haven't just passed out yet. Okay, continue, Max.
No, I mean, I shouldn't say it. No, I completely agree with what he's saying. It's just, I don't think this team's competing for a Super Bowl. But all I'm saying is that they could potentially compete for a playoff spot, like you said. Just because, I mean, they're
well, I think that's what they want to do. I suspect that's what they want to do, yeah.
But do you want to sort of – this is sort of a more existential question about the Falcons, but do you want to cling to that sort of faint hope of 9-7, 10-6 for a few more years? Do you want to sort of hold on to that, you know, everyone stays healthy, the offense is great, and you can hold on enough on defense with the talent you have? Or do you want to try to, like, build something sustainable and real that, you know, maybe has more of a 5-10-year vision than one or two? And I'm not saying that's an easy choice, but I do think that that's, like, what's going on in the Falcons front office right now.
Well, I just my biggest difference in what you're saying is the fact that I think you're trying to say it's an either-or. You definitely can do both of those things by drafting someone not named Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or anything. Like, say you go defense with this first pick. That's why I'm a big believer in the best player available approach, is because – if you take that best player available, you are building towards the next 5 to 10 years, not just this next year. And that's why you're not necessarily drafting for needs, but it's like what you need to do in the draft is just establish yourself as best you can. And I just don't think that I'm not sold on these quarterbacks, and maybe I have to go back and look at some more tape, or maybe I need to check them out a little bit more. Maybe I just need to open my mind up a bit, but I'm just, as of right now, I'm just not sold on them. And I think that it's like, if you compete to win next year, that doesn't necessarily hamper your ability to compete next in the coming years.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
No, I agree with that. And I don't think, like, necessarily an either or, but I do think quarterback is, like, the best way to sort of distill this conversation. And, you know, maybe it's as simple as I do like all four of these quarterbacks and think all four of them could be really, really good and want to see, you know, what Arthur Smith could do the next 5-10 years with one of them. But I agree in the sense that it's not an either or, and it does look like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones will be on this team next year. And if they're on this team, that means you're trying to win. And so I agree, but it's sort of going to come down to a bigger question. You know, they're going to have to make some tough decisions on certain guys who they are not attached to in the way Thomas Dimitroff and co probably were. And we're probably going to be surprised by some of those moves. And I do think a lot of them will come with the idea in mind of a sort of 5-year horizon rather than one, while still trying to sort of piece together a winning team next year.
Yeah, I think they're going to try and blend. I think football is different than other sports where it's easier to rebuild through the middle, and I think the Falcons are going to try and do that and look at what they did in the draft last year and look at what they can do in free agency in the coming years and see that, like, hey, we still have Julio, we still have Ryan, we still have Hurst. Like, they could, I mean, the best non-quarterback option that I've seen where if you really want to just test it out for one more year, that you can really go for it and that you cannot make the same mistake the Packers did by taking Jordan Love instead of somebody who could help and free up Davante Adams and friends and not rely so much on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think Kyle Pitts, if you trade it back. Like, Kyle Pitts, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones, and then you still have Hayden Hurst in the mix. Like, having watched a lot of Kyle Pitts this year, I think he might be the best tight end I've ever seen in college. Like, there is something to just having another guy that Arthur Smith's like, yeah, let's see what you do here. We can put these guys and move them around and figure all this out, because, like, we know Julio will miss some games. We know Ridley will miss some games. Russell Gage is one of my favorite guys, but, like, he still, if you just have him as, like, your fourth or fifth option, then you're really cooking with something. I don't know. I think that is something interesting. Penei Sewell still makes a lot of sense. So I understand where Garrett's coming from, but I also just am so concerned about when the Falcons will have an opportunity to pick in the top five again. Like, when will they if you don't take the quarterback now, are they going to be in a position where they're going to have to give up assets and give up picks to move up to take their quarterback future? Do they have to be the Washington football team, or they have to trade up for Robert Griffin because of where they are in the draft the following year? Like, that is my concern here. Kind of like the Eagles too, maybe.
One interesting tidbit,
Patriots.
I think I tweeted, or the Patriots. No, one interesting tidbit though. I'm not sure if you guys saw this from Field Yates. It was just that every single quarterback drafted in the first round between 2009 and 2016, of those quarterbacks, none of them are on their original teams. I think the only quarterback that's still on his original team, this goes back the year before, and that's Matt Ryan. Which, crazy stat, by the way. But just a weird thing. But my point is, there's value to be had throughout the draft. I mean, you can find quarterbacks at any level in the draft. I mean, people get overlooked every single year. I mean, I could sit here and like point out all of the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks that have panned out to be great quarterbacks. Now, of course, there's a lot more risk, and there's a lot, and there's like the talent discrepancy is more significant. But at the same time, it's like, hey, if you have a good coach, then he's going to make his players better. And I think Arthur Smith could be that guy. And you don't necessarily have to pick a quarterback in the first half of the first round in order to find that talented guy or the guy who fits.
Yeah. Well, speaking of guys who don't fit, Kurt Benkert got released this week. Good guy Kurt Benkert, who everyone loves, former Virginia quarterback. He's been on the practice squad. Like, that is something I'm also thinking about a lot, is like the Matt Schaub stuff was just insane last year. I think you can keep him, like, as a coach, just make him a quality control coach. Make up a position for him, but not have him on the salary cap sheet, because if Matt Ryan goes down, the Falcons are in a lot of trouble because Matt Schaub cannot play quarterback anymore. And I just think at this point in today's NFL, you need a really solid quarterback, because guys get banged up, you're asked to drop back a lot more, you're passing a lot more, and if you're behind a bad offensive line, things are going to get bad quickly. Do you think the Falcons, if they, like, Garrett, if they don't address quarterback in the top four, do you think they need to make the backup quarterback spot more of a priority this year?
Oh, no. The Falcons are absolutely taking a quarterback in this draft. Mm. I just don't want them to do it number four. I mean, there's no way.
So you want a second rounder. You want your Andy Dalton. You want your Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. There is value to be had later on in the draft. And you have Mac Jones, who's coming out, who's going to be a second-round pick.
I think he's going to go first. Do you think Mac Jones is going second? Someone's going to talk themselves into Mac Jones.
I could see, yeah, like, you could potentially see like a team like the Patriots, but I mean, but his grade is like a first to second round grade, and they're more Jamie Newman is another very interesting quarterback.
University of Georgia legend, Jamie Newman.
Oh my god. Oh, dude, that what do you?
He wore Georgia stuff at the Senior Bowl, by the way, like insanity.
That irked me. That irked me pretty substantially because I grew up as a Georgia fan, so it's like that bothered me a lot. But he's still a good quarterback, and he's got some mobility. He's and he's got a hell of an arm, so he can be a guy that a lot of people watch and take a look at, and probably take him like the fourth round because he didn't play last year and people might have forgotten about him. So I mean, there's plenty of talent in this draft. I'd be, and then releasing Kurt Benkert is only just more evidence that hey, we need to draft a backup quarterback anyway. And perhaps they do go quarterback at number four. I don't know. I really don't know where Terry Fontenot's going with it, but there is going to be a quarterback taken.
Max, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there has to be a quarterback taken, because it's not like I saw some buzz about Mitchell Trubisky to the Falcons as the backup, but I don't think there's going to be any, like, I don't think they can afford to make backup quarterback a priority in free agency given the just array of needs that the Falcons have top to bottom. So I think it's inevitable they'll take a quarterback. I would lean probably like 65-35 right now. They go quarterback at four. But if they don't, I would imagine they'll take a quarterback later in the draft. I'm not enamored with the idea of taking like a I'm trying to think of a name. Let's go with Jamie Newman and like trying to like sort of have a developmental guy. And take forever to figure out what you got there. But the other aspect of this is, if you take a guy like Jamie Newman and he just sort of sits there, he doesn't really lose value as an asset going forward. And that is one of the interesting things that a lot of these smart teams have done, is just sort of nab guys in, you know, middle rounds, quarterbacks, who just kind of accrue value just by being there, and maybe getting a little unnecessary hype and having like a good preseason game or whatever. And you can always flip those guys later on. So I wouldn't be like opposed to that idea. I just don't think they can afford to address it in free agency.
Yeah.
Like, what was the name of the that Packers, the backup Packers player? He was went and signed with the Seahawks the year Russ, and then
Matt Flynn.
Russell Wilson. Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Kind of like that.
Yeah. Except shout out to him. What a great career. Him and Chase Daniel.
Ooh.
Great careers.
He won
them.
A national championship.
That is true.
he got paid and then got beat out by Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But he still got paid. Still got that money.
He got a lot of money. True or false, guys? Jason Kipnis will be at Braves spring training this year.
I guess true.
Why not?
It is true. I was going through like the spring training invites. I just completely forgot the Braves signed him to a spring training invite, like a non-guaranteed. I just completely forgot Jason Kipnis is going to just pop up in spring training games this year for the Braves. Like I
gotta look this guy up. Actually, hold on. Second,
it's wild.
Oh, I know this guy.
Yeah, Cleveland Indians legend.
Yeah, Jason Kipnis. Yeah. Definitely washed, but.
Oh, no. 100% washed, but it's just weird. He's going to be
34.
Like, remember this guy? That's funny.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
They're addressing the one thing that I saw that it was like one of the most important things is that depth on the line in the starting lineup. They need a backup. They need a backup middle infielder, and I guess he could do it. He's got a chance to win this job.
Hechavara being gone, he steps up. Our players. Around the league. I think this is going to be the episode we just really try to send Garrett off the cliff, Max. Our players around the league turning on Trey. He was 11th in player votes for the All-Star game. Really pissing people off. Jaylen Brown, apoplectic, it's my word of the day on this podcast, at Trey drawing a crazy foul where he just lifted his head up, where he's flying on a fast break, and Jaylen Brown just backing up, backpedaling, and they call it a continuation foul, and one for Trey in the game Wednesday against the Celtics. Garrett, our players around the league turning on Trey?
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I was just looking at the rankings. I think it's just that there are a lot of really good players. I mean, I think Zach LaVine was slated right ahead of him, I think it was, in the player rankings. Yeah, something like that. Or Zach LaVine, they had it third. Never mind. But Trae Young coming out at 11, I mean, it's bothers me. It bothers me. Maybe it's just a testament to some of the inconsistent play that he's had this year. I mean, I'm not worried about it. I'm not really worried about it. He still finished, sixth overall when you combine all three, media, fan, and player vote. So I know who he is. We all know who he is. He's a great player. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. Max, are you at all worried?
I don't know about worried, but I do think players – it's one of the funnier things, actually, when you're watching Hawks games and Trey just draws the most ridiculous fouls. And he does that little, like, jump into you thing. And then he does, of course, the, you know, get ahead of you out of the pick and roll and just kind of, like, have you, like, ride the back and then just lead into you. And the players just lose their minds. I mean, he gets – a lot of them, I think, are kind of cheap calls. And I do think there's going to be sort of a ref correction on guys who don't want to get screwed by Trey anymore. But – it is hilarious watching guys just, like, absolutely lose it when they get stupid foul calls, and they do hate it. And I do think that played into this. So if you want to call it a conspiracy, I totally buy it. I don't think he has all that much respect from fellow players around the league. But I also don't know that he's, like, you know, last year, obviously, he started the All-Star game, right? Yeah. And I do think he's having a worse year just sort of efficiency-wise. Like, if you take out the free throw attempts, which are way up, he's only shooting, like, 43% from the field, 37% from three. It's not, like, ideal. And a lot of his creation and his efficiency just, like, kind of stems from getting the line. So I do think it's something to monitor if refs try to correct a lot of these simmering complaints from around the league, whether he'll have a counter to that. I don't know if I answered that question about whether the league's turning on Trey, but I do buy into the conspiracy that he's 11th because of that.
Yeah, I just, Man, you could tell it's bothering him a little bit, and I don't know, man. I don't know how this ends, but the losing does not help, but they're 1-0 without Lloyd Pierce, who I don't know where you guys are at with this, but at certain, who was it who actually, wasn't it Trey who kind of called out Lloyd Pierce in some post-game quotes? Was it Trey this week who had something to say?
Trey said something. It was like, we played this on Monday. I was in studio, and it was like, oh yeah, we're not 100% prepared. We're kind of like learning on the fly. We're just doing everything. And it's like, that's definitely something that I would interpret as criticism from Lloyd Pierce. I don't think it picked up steam in the media very much. Most people just kind of let it slide for whatever reason. But it's like, I heard that quote from Trae Young, and I was like, full stop. What do you mean you're not prepared? What do you mean you're just kind of like learning on the fly? What are you talking about? Can you elaborate? And no one made him do that. And it's just sort of like they kind of let him get away with it. But I don't think – Lloyd Pierce has been very frustrating this year. I mean, the team looks lost coming out of timeouts, set plays that just don't look good. I mean, I don't know if his substitutions are working either. I just don't know really anything. And I still don't see this team gelling. And development, I mean, I guess DeAndre Hunter has been – I mean, he's had a great season. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of falling off the bandwagon. I'm not completely off yet. I could be sucked back in by a couple wins. But as of right now, I'm kind of falling off.
Max, what about you?
Yeah, I'd say I'm more, like, curious than anything else. I'm not ready to, like, just bail on the guy. I think he's been dealt, like, a really, really terrible hand this year, not just with COVID, but, you know, Bogdanovich has barely played. Gallinari has been in and out of injury, and when he's come out of injury, he's been pretty darn bad. He's working in all of these new guys with all these young guys, and all of them have just kind of been hurt. DeAndre Hunter broke out, and now, you know, he's going to be out for a good chunk of time. And he's just kind of trying to juggle all of it. I wouldn't say he's done a fantastic job, but I also don't know how much of that blame can really be put on him when they're just trying to integrate all of these new pieces that haven't been able to integrate because they haven't been able to play together. I would, however, love to see, just out of curiosity, what Nate McMillan would do with his team coaching for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and just kind of see as like a nice little social experiment. But, I mean, I'm not ready to sort of come out one way or the other on his long-term future with the Hawks.
Yeah, we shall see. But I suspect it will not not be the case. And this was something I had before the season. My picks too. One pick in the East and one in the West to not make it through the season was Lloyd Pierce in the East and Ryan Saunders in the West. But
do you think he doesn't make it through the season?
No. Because I'm still pretty much out. Because I think Hunter being gone for a while is still going to hurt things. And the farther they drop down the standings, I mean, we just have to get through the first one. Like, once Ryan Saunders is let go, then the floodgates open. It's like the college coaching carousel where, like, South Carolina, like, no one during a pandemic was like, oh, who's going to be the school that takes the PR hit because it's gross to just pay all this money to get rid of a coach in a pandemic when things are awful and universities are hurting. And you're like, what if we just burn some cash? And South Carolina did. They burned a bunch of money to get rid of Will Muschamp. And then there were 15 other coaching changes this offseason. So I think it's just going to take the first one. It's a weird season. We're still just now getting at the All-Star break. But I just don't think this season turns around enough where it's like, oh, everybody's gelling. Everyone's playing together. And part of it will just be because injuries and certain things like that. But the stalled development of Cam is a big factor where we're at. And also, with Trey's quotes, and like, they might ask Trey, they're like, what do you think? And you have Nate McMillan on staff. Like, he is there. And that was something it raised my eyebrows when he got hired. I was like, did Lloyd Pierce just hire his replacement? And that was, I don't know. That would be my guess, is Nate McMillan is on the sidelines for the last regular season game for the Hawks. That would be my guess.
Well, I mean, they're not that far out from the playoffs. I mean, no. If they make the playoffs, Lloyd Pierce is going to be still coaching this team next year. I mean, what are they, like,
I don't
three
know about
games
that.
Back? I don't know how he doesn't. I mean, if he takes his team to the playoffs, I don't see a scenario really that he's not coaching this team next year. I mean, that's the goal. the goal was to make the playoffs. And I think that if he doesn't make the playoffs, I'd give him a outside chance of being on the being the head coach of the team, but odds on favor that he would be fired. But playoffs, it's playoffs or bust, basically. This team needs to make the playoffs. And the Eastern Conference is down just enough for him to be able to do that. So unless he just absolutely backdoors his way in, and it's just like it's just obvious that he just doesn't need to be here. But I mean, if he makes the playoffs, I mean, then you've got to give him a better chance to be on this like the head coach of the team.
Maybe we shall see. We shall see. Last thing, guys, we'll wrap up here. Atlanta United, they have a new kit. Keeping up with Atlanta United the last 6 months has been just stupefying. Very difficult, like all over the place, playing in different times. The MLS season, I don't even know when it's officially going to start. They don't really know either. But they do have new uniforms. What do we make of Atlanta United's new uniforms?
I kind of wish they did more of what I think it was the Philadelphia Union did. Because they do this every year. Like, they bring out these new kits, and it's like it's a new thing every year for, like, their alternate uniforms. But I really like the peach kits because they're actually different.
Yeah.
These things aren't really any different. I don't feel any different when I look at them. But going back to Philadelphia Union, I think they let their fans design it, like, over the course of, like, 2 years or something. And so, like, this is the fans' choice of a jersey or kit or whatever. And I think it was really cool. And I don't know if you've seen those. Go check those out if you haven't, because they're pretty damn cool. I don't know. Just be unique with it. If you're not unique with an alternate jersey, have some fun. Bring out the camo. I don't know. Just do something.
Bring out the camo.
Come on. I would
Georgia Southern, rise up.
Oh, hell Southern, baby. But, no. I'd wear the hell out of a camo Atlanta United jersey.
Also, I'm not going to...
Just for the kicks.
Hey, you know, I am currently wearing some insulated camo Crocs with my sweatpants at the moment. I'm not hating on the camo look, but...
Oh, man.
Oh, bro.
I can't say that I've ever worn camo before, but if Atlanta United whips out a kit...
Hold on.
With camo Crocs, blush, I would.
They're insulated. My feet are just, like, always toasty. They're the most comfortable shoes known to man. And you guys aren't my age yet. Once you get closer to 30, your feet just hurt. And when you run all the time and when you stay active, like, your body just starts betraying you and starts breaking down. And you start thinking, like, you wake up one morning and you're like, why do I want a pair of gray New Balance? Why am I suddenly interested in these New Balances? And it just hits you one day and you can't explain it. And that's where I'm at, where I'm just like, comfort over anything else. And these things are incredible for my feet. Like, I cannot wait until I get to the point in my life where I can just be comfortable all the time. Like, it is, everything's about comfortability, because everything hurts. That's just how getting old works, is everything hurts. You can stretch, do whatever. Guess what? You're going to be in pain after everything.
Sounds like you're like 60.
Dude, my body, like, I'm telling you, I'm not 50. And the jokes, I'm telling you, it's coming. It's going, Father Time will come for you as well. Like, when you just, I can't explain it, but I remember that first time after a runner, I was like, why? Or after playing basketball pickup, and you're just like, why am I in so much pain? Why do I not want to walk around? Like, I can't just play pickup for 2 hours anymore. Those days are gone. But growing up,
pliability,
play...
man. Oh, it's all about the pliability. You got to go back to the TB12 method, right?
I don't think that's a thing. My girlfriend does yoga, and just seeing, like, she was just amazed at how stiff I am and just how little I can do. Yoga seems amazing, but it hurts. I don't know if y'all have ever embarked on the yoga train, but
oh man, yoga kills me.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try it. I've never actually done it before.
Well, get a girlfriend, because chances are she does yoga. It's a very common thing. So that's the key. That's how you got to get in there. Garrett, Max, is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap up here on this beautiful Friday?
No, I've got nothing, but I'm further along on the draft a quarterback bandwagon than I've ever been. So please to announce that.
There we go. Garrett's
I'll
not even close.
I'll make it my mission. I got 2 months to convince you otherwise.
There you go. That's what we're doing on this podcast.
I've got 2 months to drag you over with me.
Touche.
This is great. All right, guys. Well, this has been great as usual. Thank you, as always, for making the time. And we will be back next week.
Thanks, y'all.
Awesome.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsitis.
I'm Kayla Tsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.